Amen. Well, I believe you're going to be blessed today. As I said, the Judah Riders are here today, Brother Tommy James and the team. And such a great blessing to us, and I always look forward to every year having them back with us. And we want to turn it over to y'all this morning and lead us in some worship and word, and then I'll come back at the end. And we're looking forward to all that God's going to say through you this morning.
Amen. You can tell I'm excited, can't you? I misinterpreted it when he looked his nod. I thought it was time for us. But we are glad to be here. Go ahead and start that music. Y'all remember David Latner from last year?
Hold on just a second. I want to thank everybody for allowing us to come and worship with you today as my wife and I celebrate our 29th anniversary today. Thank you. She ain't no smarter.
Back it up, please.
That's it. That's where it starts. You can lock me up in a prison and throw away the key. Take away the vision from my eyes that now can see. Deprive me of the food that I eat. My feet, but as long as I know Jesus, then I can still go free. Then I can still go free. Down his hand and do this for me. Unworthy me to live, and I'm not fit to kill, but that man on the cross, he put me in his will and said that I could still go free. Now I never could quite understand why our King would want to leave heaven's throne, put on the road of an earthly man, feel this pain of our flesh, this flesh and bone, then too late to try that lowly path that led him. Where the blood red stains, they broke all my chains, so that I could still go free. That I could still go free. Down his hand and been that man on the cross. He put me in his will and said that I could still go free.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, buddy. Thank you. What kind of man would do that? You know, we just came through, as you mentioned, Resurrection Weekend. We went through Lent, we went through Good Friday, we went through Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Why did he do that, and why is that important that he did it? You know, in Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now, that includes all of us, as even you, Brother Mike. Anybody that's born in this world is born into a world of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We step down, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Now, if we stop there, that's pretty sad. We're in bad shape. But it says, all his sin come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. That's how we get eternal life. That's the person that we ride for. We ride for the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is that important to us? It's important to me because now I don't have to die for my sin because of Jesus Christ's blood cleansing me, because I've accepted that. That's good news for everyone. Do you think that God meant that for you? You do? You think he meant it for me? What about that person sitting to your right? Look at it. Don't say anything. Seriously now, do you think God did it for that person? Do you think they deserve it? Do you think God gives it to them, right? What about to your left? What about that person that you work with when you go to work tomorrow, that person that you like? Do you think God did it for that person? What about the one you don't like? What about the one you really can't stand? God did it for that one? But I can go on and on. God did it for every person. Now, how did you find out about that? How did you get that? Somebody had to tell you, didn't they? Brother, could have been Brother Mike under his preaching. Could have been somebody else. I accepted Christ under my father's preaching. I'm real honored that God touched me while I was hearing a message. I'd listen to him at home, and so when he was preaching, he was doing his job. I didn't have to pay him no mind. He'd tell me at home if he had something to tell me, right? Well, one night he was preaching a revival, and God touched me. And when my father said, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior personally, you will die and go to hell. I said, wow, that's me. So I had to accept him. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to. I found out because I was under the word. Some of you find out because somebody at work shared it with you, somebody led you. Now, have you shared it? Don't answer this out loud, okay? Because I know we probably all may fall a little short here. Maybe you don't. But have you shared it since Resurrection Weekend? Have you shared that with somebody that needed to hear about it? It's our place. That's what we've called to do. Now, we've chosen as Judah Riders, as Christian Motorcycle Association, to try to share that with other bikers and, of course, other people we come in contact with. We want to share him with those that need to hear it. You yourself are helping do that with the Christian Motorcyclists Association. Now, I've shared with you every time I've come, and probably everybody here has heard me. You said, not him again. He's going to tell us about 20% goes to, you know, everything we take up for Run for the Sun, 20% of it goes to Open Doors. We help smuggle Bibles, and we help provide money to the people that help smuggle Bibles and people into persecuted countries to let them hear that message that is meant for them as much as it is for us. 20% of what we take up goes to Missionary Ventures, which provides transportation to pastors in third world countries that otherwise wouldn't be able to get to the out to the churches and out to the community to reach the people. 20% of it goes to that. We provided, I'm going to step back to that in just a minute, but the other 20% goes to the Jesus Film Project that translates the story of Christ from the book of Luke into so many languages. Now, sometimes for the first time for some of these children that are out in this, way back out in these mountains, they hear the story of Christ in their own language from a movie. And it's saved many people. And that is done. I can't go over there and carry that movie to them and show them, but I can help provide that money to them. And you are doing that. Now, back to the motorcycle part. I've told you, we through CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, since it began, has provided over 6,000 motorcycles to pastors in other countries, over 6,500 bicycles and horse and buggies, boats, you know, and the camel we like to brag about that we provided. But I want to do something today, a little short video I want to show you. It takes us back to the very first motorcycle that was delivered for Run for the Sun. What started all this and led to what's happened today. And so if you would you show that, please? And I think you'll be blessed with this.
It's hard to believe. I mean, we're here in the 21st century, but the pastors that we work with are still telling me there's areas that are not reached, that they can't get to, or they have a terrible time getting to. And so transportation is so, so important. Even this past year, a pastor founded a church in an area that has no evangelical church. The first time. This is the 21st century. So this is just as important now as it was in the beginning.
The thing that I was able to do with this motorcycle was to open up new places. There are a lot of places that you can get through with maybe, for example, a mule, or maybe with a bicycle, or definitely with a motorcycle, that have never been reached. The places that there was no way to get there before, we opened them up, and these churches are still functioning and thriving today. Other pastors, when they received some motorcycles a little bit later on, were able to go to other areas. Together, we were able to travel basically to the end of our area, essentially to the end of the earth as far as we were concerned. Before I had the motorcycle, it might take 2 days to visit one community. Now I can visit two or three communities in one day. The impact of this is huge. The motorcycle allowed me to take the gospel to villages we could not reach before. In one case in particular, we wanted to start feeding some children in a distant village, and I could only take the motorcycle so far. I had to park it and walk the rest of the way. We had a passion and a burden to help the kids in this area, and the motorcycle allowed me to get that close so I could walk the rest of the way to supervise the activities at the feeding center and get it off to a good start. The motorcycle had a great impact on my family. We had to visit a lot of families. Maybe they weren't too far away, maybe 5 kilometers, maybe a little bit more. But my wife could now go with me and visit those families. Another big thing is that many times when I was visiting the villages, before I would have to go, but it's too far and too late to come back. So I'd have to spend the night. But with the use of the motorcycle, I could go and come back in the same day. Through the use of the motorcycle, we've been able to touch hundreds and probably approaching the thousands of lives. In the beginning, there were maybe little groups, but then all of a sudden, because I could visit more places, things started growing. There have been a number of motorcycles given in our area, and the motorcycles themselves are a testimony to the gospel going out. I think after the initial bike was given, there was another group of 10 bikes given, and it allowed pastors to get out into these areas and really reach people who had never heard the gospel before. The use of the motorcycle has expanded our ministry a lot, and beyond the basic ministry it did, it opened up our eyes to many more places that we could now go. And so the use of the motorcycle has opened up new horizons. I thank the brothers and sisters for working so hard for Run for the Sun. I encourage them that there are so many more places that can can be reached with the use of motorcycles and transportation, that I encourage them to keep going.
But when you get up in the mountains, when you go over that last pass or over into that last valley, there are people that have not heard about Jesus. It's impossible for us to believe here in the U.S. because we have so much technology. But it's true. And the secret can be as just simple as getting there and sharing Jesus with people.
El motivo que estamos aquí solo estamos haciendo para Jesucristo.
It's all about Jesus. Isn't that great? Thank you. I don't know about you, but that touches me and how far it's come since then, again, because of people like y'all. Y'all shared with it. Y'all helped make that happen. Let me tell you what else you helped make happen. Hannah, come on up. Hannah's going to sing us a song, but while she's coming, I want to tell you that last year, thanks to y'all helping us and everyone else that helped, the Judah Riders was able to raise enough money to buy a motorcycle and provide it to a pastor in one of those third world countries. That's great. It takes 15,000, right, to provide one motorcycle, to get it, the motorcycle, get it delivered and all that stuff. And thanks to y'all, we did that last year. We're going to do it again this year. So if God lays it on your heart and feels led for you to give, to run for the Son, and ironically enough, that next Saturday, May the 4th, is actually our Run for the Sunday. Everything we do through the year, and that's the only fundraiser we have, and everything through the year goes to that, and it all culminates next Saturday on May the 4th. So pray for us, and y'all come. You can come ride with us, right? Maybe so. Hannah Boggs, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came. Hannah Boggs is going to share a song. We've had to beg and twist her to come. She loves to share about God. She has a great testimony, too. Maybe we can come back one day when she's got time to share it. And such a wonderful testimony that you shared about God. That's awesome. We'll continue to pray for you. But Hannah, share a song.
I was just going to say, actually, I'm actually supposed to be at Emory right now, having my fourth open heart surgery. I have congenital heart disease, but I guess God had other plans because they sent me home and they said, you're the most healthiest, stable person and I think you'll do fine and we'll call you whenever, you know, another surgery date opens. So I guess I'm here with you guys. So bear with me. I haven't practiced because I was asked last night and I really appreciate y'all having us here.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see. And he bore a crown of thorns upon him.
Thank you, Hannah. That was awesome. Awesome, wasn't it? I'm going to hush, I promise. I'm going to introduce you to our new chaplain, the Judah Ryder's new chaplain, Mr. Dickie Wisnett, and his wife, Molly. And they're going to sing about the greatest room we could ever have. And then Brother Dickie is going to bringing the message that God laid on his heart, and then to turn it back over to Brother Mike. I want to say this, and I promise last thing, I'm going to hush. I want to thank you, Brother Mike, again, and St. Simon's Christian Renewal. Y'all are wonderful people. We get excited every time. And there's about 10 of us that had a special event at their church, and they said to tell you that they're sorry they missed it, and they did miss it. So we thank y'all very much.
Tried to get out of this today, but they wouldn't let me. Especially the singing part.
There you are.
Hard to follow a song like that, but pick it up just a little
Everybody has trials and temptations. Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down.
Forever and ever, His heart is my home. nobody, no sorrow, devastation. But we can lay our burdens down.
Start. Can everybody hear me without a mic? That's what I pray that. I got one of those fears of mics. You know? It makes people hear me. I just want you to know I'm not a preacher. I've talked a few times, and God has always spoke through me. And I want you to know this morning, God is good. The lady spoke this morning about going on forward. That's what we have to do is go forward. Tommy's took half of my message, but anyway, we'll get back to that part. I'll start out this morning. All of us, I'm sure, at one time or another, have been on the road traveling or hunting, fishing, camping, whatever. And this past weekend, we went back to General Coffee State Park, camped out. Well, it kind of brought back to my memory of a few years ago when we went to General Coffee State Park and we went camping and had grandkids and we went hiking. And I've always thought I was good at finding my way. And I've always been pretty good about getting back out of the woods when I go hunting. Well, we went hiking this day and took the grandkids, and we hiked off down this trail and got ways off. And I'm the kind of person, I like to do pranks, you know. I like to scare the grandkids and so forth. Well, we got off in the woods and down the trail, and they decided, well, we're going to try and go back. Well, there's another trail that was right along beside that trail. I noticed it when we came in, so my brilliant mind, I'm going to hit that other trail and get in front of them and scare the grandkids when they hit the bridge. The only thing about it was is that trail went that way for a little ways, and then it turned. I think it was about 3 hours later. I had walked and went way off back in the woods somewhere, past some people riding horses, and I finally decided, let me turn around and go back this other way, and I wound up back on the highway. There's two entrances going into the state park. Well, I was on the second entrance. The first entrance is still probably a half a mile back to the camp or further. So I wound up calling my son-in-law to come pick me up because I was give out. But I want to tell you that story to lead into this.
We need maps. When I got back to the campground, I looked at the map and I said, you know, if I looked at this before I left, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have been so stupid. I could have knew where I, you know, how to get back where I was at. But I never looked at the map because all those trails on the state parks, they're marked. You know, you can follow them around, and most of them circle around, come back where you started. This particular trail went in, turned, went down there and dead-ended about 5 miles in the woods. I didn't go that far. I turned around before I got that far. But if I had looked at that map before I left, I wouldn't have made that mistake. I wouldn't have looked like such a dummy when I got back to the campsite. But I want to say that to say this. This right here, this is our map. This is our map for getting through this world. And we have to use this map as Christians in order to get our lives straightened out, to follow, to keep from getting lost, get sidetracked. We can get sidetracked so easy in this world if we don't stay in this map. In 2 Timothy, let's go to prayer before we start this. Dear God in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you reach down this day. Lord, you'll move me out of the way, Lord, and you'll just speak through me the words you'd have these people to hear this morning, have me to hear, Lord. Because I'm not speaking to these people no more than I'm speaking to myself, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll just have your will and your way in this service, Lord, that you'll just fill us, Lord, this morning. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Okay, back in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and for righteousness. That's our roadmap to keep us in line and in way that we need to go. This word is inspired by God. It's written by man. Men actually sat down and penned it. But God's the one gave them the words to put in it. We have to believe that because if there's two things. If we don't believe that, one, if we believe that there's any errors in this scripture, I believe that this word is inerrant, that there's no errors in this scripture whatsoever. If we don't believe that, there's two problems. One is that God didn't inspire it and man written it. If man wrote it and God didn't inspire it, what are we following it for? There's too many things there. Too many problems. If God didn't inspire this word, there's too many problems. If we believe that God inspired the word, but there's problems in it, or there's errors in it, then we can't trust God, right? I believe that this word is truly inspired by God. Every word in it is put there by God. Because there is no errors. I believe that personally myself, and I hope y'all do. Because if you don't, you're being led astray somewhere. This is what we have to live our life by. And even in the Old Testament, if you look back in the book of Psalms, you know, even the Old Testament tells us that. Psalms 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the psalmist even says, this is our roadmap. He's telling us right there. He said, it's a light unto my path. Light unto my feet, lamp unto my path. Anyway, he's telling us right there, that's our roadmap. We got to follow that in order to get our lives to go straight and follow the word of God. And in Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, my son, if you receive my word and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for her hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of the saints. Then you will understand the righteousness and judgment, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the evil way. If we follow the scriptures will lead us in the right direction, keep us from evil. It's not going to keep us from sinning. We're earthly humans. If we're not careful, Satan will pull us aside. He'll cause us to sin. If we stay in the scripture like we're supposed to, and we follow the scripture close, we'll be less likely to sin. But we should also look for the scriptures, or we should also let's see. 1 Peter. I got too many places marked here. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2. So the newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We should be earnestly looking into the word. We should be desiring it like a baby does for milk. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be so hungry for the word that we'll cry out to him, that we'll look for him, his leadership. And Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." The renewing of our minds comes from this scripture. We have to stay in this scripture. We have to follow this roadmap to have our minds renewed each day to keep us in the straight and narrow way. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, God has told us so many times, if we want to live right, if we want to do what God wants us to do, we follow this word. And this is our roadmap. And in this day and time, it's more important. I don't know, I've kind of gone back and to over this a little bit. I know in the Old Testament days and all, they had their problems. The apostles had their problems with people breaking off from their teaching and trying to teach that you had to follow the law, that you had to do this, you had to do that, other than what Jesus said to do. But the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 4, that the time is coming when they won't look for sound doctrine. They won't look for what the scripture says. They'll look for what people want, you know, what makes them feel good. It's a feel-good society what we live in today. And if we're not careful, if we don't stay in the scriptures, you get people coming in and talking, and I know there's good pastors on the television, there's good ministries on TV, there's no doubt. But there's some that they'll tell you, "Send me some money and you'll get everything you want." You know, what is that? God never promises us that we're going to get everything we want. He promises us if we do what we're supposed to do that we'll go to heaven. We may have to go through sickness. We've got a brother now laying in the hospital. We don't know what's wrong with him, but we're hoping that God's going to find out. I was talking to somebody this morning, you know, God sometimes puts us on our back, so all we can do is look at heaven. You know, we're on the mountain one day, we're in the valley the next. But we have to stay in this scripture. We have to study. We have to know ourselves what this word says, because when we sit, and I noticed the preacher looking in his scripture there a minute ago, I guess, I don't know whether he's making sure I was reading the right scripture or not, but that's what we have to do when we're sitting out there. If the preacher tells you something and it's not written in this book right here, don't believe it, because it ain't right. It's not true. If it's not in this scripture, now he may tell you something that goes along with scripture, that's one thing. But if he tells you something that's not in this scripture and you can't find it in this scripture, don't believe it. Look in this word. Make sure that the preacher's telling you what's true. Because we have to know ourselves in order to live our lives the way we're supposed to. And then we get into where Tommy got in my scripture. Because we have different beliefs. There's no doubt. Y'all have some different beliefs. I'm Southern Baptist. I've been raised one way all my life. I have certain beliefs that's different than what y'all believe. There's no problem with that. But when you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. You know, there's so many things doctrinally that we may have different, but there's certain things that we can't change. There's no way. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, there's only one way to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. As long as we believe that, as long as we know that, it don't matter what the other things that we're talking about. Whether, you know, it just don't matter. There's just so many things out there, so many different denominations. As long as they believe that, as long as they know that the only way to get to Jesus is through his blood, then that ties them in. And once we get to that point, in order to be saved, it says we first must know that we're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here. It don't matter how good you are. There's a lot of people out there, and I've talked to some, that says, oh, I live a good life. You know, God won't do bad to me because I've lived good. I hadn't done anything wrong. What did the rich man, when Jesus talked to him, he says, all my life I've followed the law and I've done everything. Jesus told him, sell what you have and go give it to the poor. He wouldn't do it. Well, Jesus is only telling us to believe in him, believe in the blood. Then we have to believe that we are condemned. From that sin, we are condemned to die. If we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, one day we're going to die and go to hell. And we'll spend eternity in hell. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what we have to look at. That gift is a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. That's what makes it so hard for some people. Some people think that, you know, why would God give me something like that? And they just can't grasp the fact that free is free. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is accept it. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's simple. That's very simple. Just confess and believe. That's all you got to do. And it's for anybody. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. It don't matter who it is. Just anybody. You believe in Jesus. Believe he died on the cross and shed his blood for you. And you can be saved. That's all it takes. And it's by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Grace. The acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ gave his life on that cross. He shed his blood, every last drop of his blood, to cover mine and your sin. It's so hard to think that anybody. Why would God, you know, there's a song that I listen to quite a bit. Why would God leave his throne in heaven, come down to this earth, take on the form of man, go through the pain, the suffering that this body has to give me eternal life? Why would he do that? It's just so unimaginable why to think that God would do that, but he did. But you know, I'm going to end with this. Faith is the one thing that we have to have. And it's free. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to work anything for it. We have to have the faith. But in James chapter 2, this will be my last scripture. James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. God don't expect us to work for our salvation. He's given that to us free. 100% free. All we have to do is accept it. But once we accept that faith, once we accept that salvation, why would we not work to try to help somebody else get the same thing that we have? That peace that God gives us comes through that salvation. We know people out there who don't know Jesus like we do. Why would we not work to try to help them have the same thing that we have, to keep them from going to a devil's hell?
Amen. Thank you for the word of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's our only key, our only way. And thank you for sharing that, brother. If you've been blessed this morning, amen, amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's stand together. Beautiful singing, beautiful word. And young lady, I was also an Emory patient back in 1984, and I'm standing here today because of the grace of God, and I believe the same for you, the same for you. Aren't you glad that healing is no issue for God? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the same power he had then, he has today. Amen. Amen. Amen.